Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. This is day 9 of our series, 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. In today's episode, we'll be talking about lab equipment. If you want to be a cosmetic formulator, you need to have the right equipment. In today's episode, we will discuss all of the essential equipment that every cosmetic lab needs. A cosmetic lab is a bit like any other science lab, but the equipment used in making cosmetics is often more similar to the kinds of things you find in a kitchen rather than that in an organic chemistry lab. Breaking it down to the bare basics, there are only 5 types of equipment you need to set up a cosmetic lab. This includes weighing equipment, mixing and storage containers, mixers, temperature control equipment, and testing equipment. We'll cover each of these and also discuss some of the lab supplies you need for your cosmetic product lab. We'll begin with the weighing equipment. To make cosmetic products, you will be measuring out specific masses of raw material. In a kitchen, measurements are typically done using measuring spoons and measuring cups. These are volume measurements, and they are not appropriate for cosmetic formulating. When you are creating cosmetic products, all of your raw material measurements should be done in terms of mass or weight. Also, all your cosmetic formulations should be written in terms of mass too, so all your ingredients should be listed in terms of grams of that ingredient rather than fluid ounces or cups or tablespoons. It's just much more reliable to use weight measurements rather than volume. For that reason, you have to have a proper balance or scale for measuring ingredients in your cosmetic lab. In the old days, there was the triple beam balance, which consisted of a large plate, an arm, and a hook where you could place weights of different masses. Fortunately, technology has advanced, and today most balances consist of a single plate with a digital readout. For a cosmetic lab, you'll want to have a balance that can measure as small as 0.01 grams and as much as 1,000 grams. You want these ranges because the batch sizes that you use most frequently will make about 1,000 grams or less. It is actually helpful to have a balance that can measure larger quantities, say up to 5,000 grams or 5 kilograms. The problem with these scales is that the more mass you can measure, the less accurate they will be for smaller measurements. In an ideal world, your cosmetic lab would have a scale that measures from 500 grams down to 0.01 grams, and another scale that measures up to 5,000 grams. There are a wide variety of brands when it comes to picking out scales. I used scales from Mettler Toledo and Cole Palmer, such as the ones that are listed in the show notes. The prices of scales range anywhere from less than $100 to over $3,000, and that's US dollars. The less expensive devices will have a number of deficiencies as compared to the more expensive models. In general, less expensive scales will be less accurate, less durable, and will need to be replaced more often. However, there is a limit at which the price of the scale does not match the additional benefit you get. I would estimate that most small labs could get away with purchasing a scale that is anywhere from $200 to $500. Less than that won't be of a high enough quality, and more than that is just probably extra money you don't need to spend. While the scale will be your largest expense when it comes to weighing equipment, there are also supplies you'll need in the lab related to weighing ingredients. Other weighing equipment you'll need include disposable pipettes to help when measuring liquids, and weigh boats to help when weighing out solids. The most commonly used weigh boats are made of either aluminum or flexible polystyrene. Small metal spatulas are also used when making cosmetic batches. Finally, you'll also want to have a good supply of lab-grade paper towels or Kim wipes for cleaning all of your equipment. Another essential type of equipment is containers in which you store and make your batches. The most common container you'll use to make a cosmetic formula is a beaker. Things like Erlenmeyer flasks and graduated cylinders that were so frequently used in other chemical labs are rarely used in cosmetic labs. For formulating, you'll need a variety of beaker sizes to accommodate all the different size batches you'll make. Be sure to have a number of 500ml, 800ml, 1000ml, 1500ml, and 2000ml beakers. In my opinion, 400-gram batches are really the smallest size you should make, and they fit nicely in a 500-milliliter beaker. Beakers are also useful for measuring out large volumes of liquids, so it's useful to have on hand a number of beakers ranging in volume from 10 mils all the way up to 2,000 mils. The beakers you get should be made from borosilicate glass, which are able to withstand the high temperatures you will sometimes expose them to when making batches. These are relatively inexpensive, and you could probably get a full complement of beakers that you need to start your lab for less than $100. In the show notes, I'm going to provide a link to a set of beakers that will work for most anyone. These are the same types of beakers that I use in my formulation labs. For larger batches, say ones over 2 kilograms in size, you should get some stainless steel containers. These are durable and can be exposed to a wide range of heat without concern. The main problem with this is that some of the ingredients used in cosmetic formulation can interact with the steel and cause problems, so you cannot store your product in them for any length of time. It's great to have a couple of containers like these, but you will mostly be creating your batches in beakers. Another type of container you'll need for cosmetic lab are your storage containers. Often, you'll make a batch of a product or some type of testing, and you'll have extra product left over. Instead of disposing all of this material, it's useful to store it for later use. Storing product in glass containers is really the best option. Also, you'll need glass containers if you're going to do any type of stability testing. Unlike the mixing containers, however, these containers can be made from standard thick glass. The most common sizes that we used in our lab are 2-ounce, 4-ounce, and 8-ounce, and also 1-liter straight-sided jars. Having a wide-mouth jar makes it easy to pour into the container and also allows you to make viscosity measurements right in the jar. There are some lab supplies that go along with mixing containers. You should have a good supply of plastic wrap and aluminum foil while you create your formulas. The plastic wrap is used to cover the top of the beaker while you're making the batch. This is going to prevent some of your water loss, and the aluminum foil can be used for the same purposes. When you are done with a batch but want to leave it in the beaker overnight before you can take measurements on it, covering it with a double layer of plastic wrap and aluminum foil is typically done. The third type of equipment every formulation lab needs are mixers. These are the devices you'll use to properly blend your formulas and get the results you need. In college chemistry labs, you most frequently used a magnetic stirrer to mix your creations. These are rarely used in cosmetic labs. They just aren't strong enough. The formulas tend to be of a thicker viscosity, and the magnetic stirrers really just don't work. And for many DIYers or home crafter cosmetic formulators, a stick blender or a handheld mixer is used. Now, these devices are okay for hobbyists, but if you want to create a professional lab, you're going to need proper mixers and homogenizers. The things used in the kitchen are just not durable enough or strong enough to mix the ingredients you use in cosmetic formulations. Also, you have to hold them on by hand, and so you can't have them automatically mixing, which you typically need to have when you're creating cosmetics. For mixing, you'll want an industrial type overhead mixer. These mixers provide a fast way to make formulations in a wide range of sizes. They have variable speeds and blades, so a single mixer can be used to make a wide variety of cosmetic formulation types. There are a number of things to consider when you are picking an overhead mixer for a cosmetic lab. First, know the viscosity or thickness of the products that you're going to most often make. If you are making thick gels, you'll need a higher speed mixer than if you're just making solution formulas like shampoos or body washes. Second, know the size of the samples you'll be frequently making. You'll typically can't use the same mixer for a 5-gallon batch that you can use for a 1-kilogram batch. for a cosmetic lab, focus on getting a mixer that can handle batches 2 kilograms and smaller. If you need to make batches larger, you can get a second mixer or work with a contract manufacturer to get these products made. The third consideration is mixing speed. Mixers typically have a range of speeds from 20 to 3,000 RPM or higher. Most batches that I made in the lab were done in a mixing range speed from 200 to 500 RPM. There are a number of good brands out there, and if you search around on Amazon or eBay, you can find less expensive options. Figure for a good professional grade mixer, you're going to have to spend at least $1,500 or so for a new one. However, you can probably get a decent mixer for $500. It really depends on what you can find. Now, I'm going to include a few links to mixers that have the right specification for a cosmetic lab in the show notes. In addition to the mixer, you'll need a proper mixing blade. The most common types used in cosmetic labs are paddle blades. These are rectangle-shaped steel mixers that have the middles cut out. They provide adequate mixing for both solution and emulsion type formulas. You'll also need a range of sizes of the mixer blade to accommodate the different batch sizes that you're going to be making. I'll also include links in the show notes for proper mixing blades. Finally, you'll also need a stand to hold the mixer. The stand should be sturdy, durable, and allow for you to adjust the height and position of the mixer. So you have your mixers, containers, and weighing devices, but you'll still need a way to heat and cool your batches. And for this, you'll need temperature controlling equipment. And the most common of these is a hot plate. The hot plates used in the cosmetic labs are pretty much the same as the ones you use in any chemistry lab, except they tend to be larger. The types of hot plate you get, again, depends on the type of batches that you're going to most frequently make. However, here are some things you should consider when getting one. First, there's a size. You want one that has a plate that is large enough to accommodate any batch size you are making. A 5-inch by 5-inch to a 7-inch by 7-inch platter size is good for most applications. If you are going to make larger batches, then you can even get a larger platter size hot plate. Next is the temperature range. Most hot plates will range from 50°C to 500°C, and this is more than adequate for any cosmetic formula you're going to make. You might also wonder whether you should have the magnetic stirrer option when it comes to many hot plates. In truth, cosmetic formulators don't really use magnetic stirrers. The raw materials we work with are too viscous for magnetic stirrers to be useful. However, if you happen to get a hot plate with a magnetic stirrer, you can use it for making solutions for things like salts or dyes or acids in which the viscosity isn't really an issue, and so the magnetic stirring is not completely useless. For cooling batches, most of the time we just remove the batch from the hot plate and then use air to cool it down. But for products like emulsions, you'll want to have a water bath for cooling it down quickly. This could simply be a tub that you fill with cold water and ice. I actually recommend that you always use a water bath batch even when you're heating your batches. The way it works is that you have a pan of water that gets directly put on the hot plate. Then you put your beaker for the batch in the pan of water. As you heat it up, you limit the speed and maximum temperature to which you can heat your batch. It sometimes happens that batches get overheated because the temperature of the hot plate is too difficult to control. When you are using a hot plate and a hot water bath, you don't have this problem. So, and also, when you are ready to cool down your batch, you can just replace the hot water with ice water. It works great and gives you much better control over temperature. One other thing you'll need related to heating cooling is a way to measure the batch temperature. There are a number of options. Using a waterproof digital thermometer is a great option, as is a thermometer with a detachable probe. When I was formulating, we had a number of stainless steel cheese-making thermometers that were quite handy. You could put them in the beaker and monitor the temperature the entire time. Another option is a laser thermometer. This can work well to give you an idea of the temperature throughout your batch. Finally, the last pieces of equipment you need to properly outfit your cosmetic lab is testing equipment. Taking measurements and keeping records of the results of your batches are not only helpful activities to ensure you are making high-quality products, they are also a requirement for following good manufacturing procedures as recommended by the FDA. After you've finished any cosmetic formulation, you need to test it to ensure that it meets specifications and expectations. For this, you'll want to have a pH meter and a viscometer for measuring the rheology. The pH meter you get does not have to be expensive, but don't waste your time with pH strips. Those are just not accurate enough for a professional cosmetic lab. They really aren't accurate enough for any lab, actually. Better is to get a pH meter which has a probe and a digital readout accurate to at least 0.01 pH units. These don't have to be expensive either, and you can get a reasonably good one for less than $20. However, if you are going to be making a lot of batches and conducting stability tests, it will be worth investing in a more accurate and reliable pH instrument like a device from Blue Lab. This can run you up to about $200. The other standard measurement that you need to make is viscosity, and there's no better device than a Brookfield viscometer. You'll need to get something that can measure formulas with a viscosity up to, say, 1 million centipoise. That's probably overkill for cosmetic products, but it's better to be able to measure a really thick solution than not. A viscometer can cost anywhere from $200 to $1,500. There are numerous other testing devices you can buy, but if you have a pH meter and viscometer, that will cover most of all your testing needs to start out. Of course, no testing lab would be complete without a good stock of cosmetic raw materials. Which of these you have keep on hand will depend on the type of formulas you make. Everyone will want to have a supply of deionized water. Most of you will also want to have a stock of common preservatives, acids, bases, and dye solutions. We'll save a more in-depth look at what raw materials to stock for a later show. So that's it. If you get all the equipment listed in this episode, you'll have a completely functional cosmetic laboratory. If you already work for a company, they'll usually have this stuff for you. They'll also have more specific equipment for the types of formulas you'll be mostly working on. However, if you are setting up your own lab or helping your company get into the field of cosmetic science, be sure to stock your lab with the proper equipment. Today's challenge. Now that you know all the equipment needed for a cosmetic lab, it's time to get started building your own. For today's challenge, I want you to go through and make a list of all the pieces of equipment that you have and the ones that you need. To help you do this, we've made a checklist that you can get at our website in the show notes. Go get the checklist and write down the equipment that you have now and what you still need. If you have already purchased equipment, feel free to leave a list of what you are using in the comments section so everyone can learn from your experience. This isn't a really involved challenge, but it's something everyone can do. Eventually, you are going to need all this equipment if you want a fully functional cosmetic lab. Well, that's today's program. Thank you so much for listening. In tomorrow's show, we're going to focus on cosmetic product testing and specifically look at claims testing. If you have found this series helpful, please go to the comments section in our show notes and leave a comment. Also, be sure to share it with your friends and colleagues who you think might benefit from the information. As always, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes or in any other podcast playing service that you use. Also, be sure to give us a review on iTunes. This will help others find the show. If you found these podcasts helpful, please share it with anyone else that you know who might be interested. You can also follow us on Twitter or at Chemist's Corner and like us on Facebook. Additionally, we have a cosmetic science forum that I encourage everyone to go to and sign up and participate in the discussion. It's free to sign up, and you can get lots of your questions answered right there by other cosmetic chemists. You can get there by going to chemistscorner.com/cosmeticsciencetalk. Thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.